Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Sean Pendergast. He is with Sports Radio 610 down in Houston, Texas. Sean, always happy to catch up with you, my man.
Carrington, how you doing, man? Happy holidays.
Absolutely, man. Fantastic to have you on, man. Let's just start with this. What's turned around for this Texans team? They got off to a super slow start at the very beginning of the season, and they have now turned into one of the hotter teams in the league. What's changed with the Texans?
Yeah, it's funny because the thing that's getting the most attention nationally in this turnaround that they've had has been the defense. And the fact of the matter is that the defense has been playing at this level, the same level that it's been playing on during this four-game winning streak, really practically all year long. You know, they went 0-3 to start the season, but it was 3 one-score games that they could have made plays at the end of the games. They were very close games, but they were games where the offense was just playing horribly. This offense was at or near the bottom of the league in a lot of the statistics through the first, you know, really through their, I would say, like the 2-4 start that they had. They were 3-5 at one point, and then ironically, Davis Mills comes in for a concussed C.J. Stroud, and it seems like the offense has figured some things out. They're not great. It's not a great offense, but unlike last season when C.J. Stroud was second in the league in sacks, and you know, in sacks taken behind Caleb Williams, the offensive line is protecting, whether it's Davis Mills or C.J. Stroud, at a pretty good rate right now. They're running the ball decently, and they've started to get some contributions from some of the rookies that they drafted, namely Woody Marks, who's become their lead running back, and Jaden Higgins, who's become a really nice number two to Nico Collins in the passing game. So I would say probably the biggest thing is just improvement offensively, protecting the football and protecting the quarterback.
Let's keep it with the offense. Let's talk about C.J. Stroud. You mentioned it. He had a concussion. He didn't play for 4 games. He was back on Sunday as the Texans go on the road and beat the Indianapolis Colts. What did you notice from Stroud? I saw some comments that Stroud said that he started to kind of get some of the rust off as they got into the second half of the game. What did you notice from him as they got back their franchise quarterback?
I think the biggest thing, yeah, he was rusty at first, although they marched right down the field and had to kick a foot like they've done a lot this year. They're not a good red zone team. He looked decent on the first drive, but then, yeah, there were some hiccups in the first half. Namely, the biggest one was an interception that he just sailed, really bad throw. I think the biggest thing that I noticed out of C.J. Stroud, two things on Sunday. One, he was much more comfortable than he has been kind of stepping up in the pocket and not retreating from the pocket or bailing out early. He looked a lot more like rookie C.J. Stroud, who ironically was probably the most comfortable version that we've seen of him since he came into the league. The offensive line woes last year did a lot of damage to C.J. that he's just now kind of shaking off. I think the other thing, Carrington, that we saw was that each time that Indianapolis went down the field and scored a touchdown, C.J. was able to engineer a drive that responded with a touchdown. He was very resilient in that game, and that hasn't always been the case this year. You know, when they were going 0-3 to start the year, there was a lot of body language analysis going on with C.J. Stroud and behavior analysis going on with C.J. Stroud. You know, he's just not somebody who's used to losing a ton. So So that, I think that's the biggest thing. He showed some resiliency within the game, and I think he looked a little more comfortable in the pocket, especially as the game went on.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Pendergast with Sports Radio 610 in Houston, getting you ready for Sunday Night Football as Houston travels to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Sean, let's switch over to the defense, where I think that the Texans have the biggest advantage in this game. It's Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. going up against backup tackles for the Kansas City Chiefs. I watched a lot of Chiefs football over these last couple years. When the Chiefs have been deficient in tackle, their offense has just not been able to work, and that's what scares me most heading into this matchup. Let's focus in on those two. Let's also talk about this defense that is arguably the best in the league.
Yeah, they're Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter are, I mean, they're violent and dangerous and really smart in how they go about things as well. I think that's the, just starting with that defensive line, which obviously the two of them are the catalyst for. I would say probably the biggest thing is that it's not just their ability to get to the quarterback collectively as a unit, and I'll include the defensive tackles in there. The way that they rush, the discipline that they rush with, the way that they don't run past the quarterback, which is huge in a matchup with Patrick Mahomes, that you're closing off those escape lanes that he can, you know, use to get out and then wreak havoc, either throwing on the run or scrambling himself. If you watch that Thursday night game against the Buffalo Bills, yeah, they sacked Josh Allen 8 times, but the biggest thing I thought was that they bottled him up and he only had 4 rushing attempts the whole game. He only really got out and escaped 1 time for 14 yards. It's not just getting the quarterback on the ground. It's the constant pressure and the ability to keep mobile quarterbacks in the pocket. The linebackers are extremely violent. Aziz Al-Shaair, Henry Toa, tackle machines. They played really disciplined. They've been very good against play action this year, whereas last year they weren't. They were a good defense last year, but they gave up a lot of big plays because they bit on play action. They're one of the top defenses against play action this year. And then on the back end, they're just dynamite. I mean, the two corners, Kamari Lassiter, who, by the way, has not practiced this week, so that's something to keep an eye on. But Derek Stingley Jr. is the best cornerback in football. So they're outstanding on the outside. Jalen Petrie is sort of a jack of all trades. You know, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're looking at the depth chart, he's listed as a safety, but he comes up and plays sort of a hybrid linebacker. He plays in the slot. He's just a playmaker. And then Kalen Bullock, who in that Buffalo game, a lot of people sort of discovered around the country, who forced 3 turnovers in that game, 2 picks and a fumble. He's been outstanding in his second year out of USC. So they are young, they're good. It's all three levels. There's really not a huge weakness. They're not great in the red zone. They're not great in the red zone. And that's about all I can say. Like everything else, they're first in points and first in yards. It's a really good defense.
That's interesting you say that about Stingley. I think a lot of people would say that Surtain's the best corner in the league. You think it's Stingley?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's Stingley. I think the overall package they were the two first team All-Pro cornerbacks. So it's, you know, they're 1 and 2 in some order. I just think Stingley, some of the things he's able to do with his body control and his hands, I think he could play wide receiver if he wanted to. The LSU people talk about that all the time, how they wanted him to do things both ways when he was at LSU. They're both great. Obviously, Surtain's the reigning defensive player of the year, but Derek Stingley Jr. is just he does things that just mesmerize.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Pendergast, taking a closer look at the Houston Texans heading into Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs. I think you got to give Houston a lot of credit. I think you got to give them credit for this. I think it's easy to kind of poke holes in teams' resumes, like, oh, who have they beaten? You can't do that with this Texans team. They beat San Francisco. They beat Jacksonville. They beat Buffalo. They went on the road and beat Indianapolis. Like, this team is a legitimate threat, and this is exactly where you want to be, playing your best football heading into the final month of the regular season.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and I would say, too, yeah, now I feel like I'm going into college football playoff committee mode. But if you look at their losses, their losses are all by one score. The losses to start the 0-3, the 0-3 start, they lost by one score to the Rams, and they fumbled the ball with 2 minutes left in Rams territory. They were a 4th-and-10 stop away, and they should have stopped the Bucs on that Monday night game. They're leading their division. They did lose to the Jags early in the season, and they were able to beat them again back here in Houston. Seattle was another one of their losses, and I'm missing one. But and Denver, they lost to Denver in the game where CJ got concussed in the first quarter. CJ Stroud, if he stays healthy, they probably win that game at home. So yeah, there have been no like super clunkers or anything like that for them. They're in every game. That's due to the defense. This defense is going to keep them in every game. If the offense is getting stymied on Sunday night, it's going to be a close game because the defense will keep them in the game. They're not going to get blown out. And I think you give DeMeco Ryans a lot of credit for keeping the team together through an 0-3 and a 3-5 start. You see a lot of teams around the league that start to point fingers and snipe and things like that. And DeMeco's done a really good job of keeping the guys focused.
Sean, I actually have not been very popular this week. I'm actually picking Houston to win this game. I think Houston is playing a better brand of football, and I trust Houston more than I trust Kansas City at this point. I also think that Houston's going to turn around and win their division. If they win this game and they're 8-5, and then you got Arizona and Vegas in back-to-back weeks at home, and this Colts team to me is starting to leak a lot of oil, I think this Houston's team could be the team that's dangerous heading into the playoffs that nobody wants to play.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on in a vacuum. I agree with you totally about the Texans, Carrington. The issue in the division right now is that Jacksonville's schedule is not all that tough the rest of the way. Jacksonville's got a game against Tennessee. They've got a game against the Jets. Now, we've seen Jacksonville through the years. Look, they could have clinched the division 2 years ago and lost to Tennessee in Week 18, and the Texans ended up winning the division that day. They play the Colts twice starting this weekend. So that gets to be a tricky thing for Texan fans because they're a game back of both of those teams right now. So like, who do we root for? Do we root for the Colts? Do we root for the Jags? We're behind both of them. One of them's going to win. One of them's going to lose. I think we're rooting for the Colts just because there are a couple more losses on that Colts schedule than there are on that Jags schedule just going the rest of the way. But yeah, as far as the Texans go, and picking them in the game this weekend, I'm picking them too in a close game just because I feel like everything's moving in the right direction, and if not now, when? But there are a lot of demons that get exercised for the Texans if they win this game because they've not been a great team in prime time the last couple of years, that Buffalo game a couple of weeks ago notwithstanding. They've not been great on the road in prime time. They've not been great in cold weather. They certainly have not been great against the Chiefs, period, the last few years. So there's a lot going on just in terms of exercise demons, and I think there's for I say longtime Texan fans, but for Texan fans, people have been fans of the Texans pre like back in the Deshaun Watson era when that 24-0 lead in a playoff game dissipated. I mean, you look at the fork in the road for the two franchises from that day, and I said it on our show today. From that day on, the Chiefs went to 5 Super Bowls. The Texans have had 5 different head coaches, literally, since that day. So I think there's a circle of life feeling to this game that we kind of helped give rise to the Chiefs dynasty that day, and that maybe we can maybe not kill the Chiefs dynasty and maybe not kill the season, but certainly put it on life support.
Sean, in all the years that you and I have talked to each other, I don't think you and I have ever really talked a whole lot of college football. Houston is a very weird market when it comes to college football. There's a lot of people that move there from New Orleans, so there's like a LSU feel to it. There's an A&M feel to it. Obviously, a lot of Longhorn fans there. I got two college football questions, and we'll get you out of here. Let's start with the LSU, Texas A&M situation, Ole Miss over the last couple of weeks. How much have you guys talked about Lane Kiffin?
A lot, just because I think that Lane Kiffin story is one that kind of transcends geography. You know, Lane Kiffin is a big personality. The state governor, the governor in Louisiana got involved when they fired Brian Kelly. And I'm a Notre Dame guy. I went to Notre Dame. So, you know, this whole thing started with firing Brian Kelly, really, which is another story that I think transcends market just based on how acrimonious that whole thing was. So, yeah, we've talked quite a bit of that. Certainly way more than we normally do, Carrington, because the dynamic here in Houston, I mean, you kind of touched on it. There's so many different college football contingencies here that on the radio, if you start talking about one in depth, then it just turns off all the others. Whereas you talk about the Texans and everybody's listening, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. But that Lane Kiffin thing is something that everybody can relate to. So we've actually talked quite a bit about that and found great sources of entertainment from that.
Do you think that Texas should be in the college football playoff?
No, I don't. And I've been and I've been jousting with a lot of people on that. I just don't like the way Texas goes about their argument that first of all, I'm not a big fan of like, hey, let's not play hard games. And I understand what their argument is, but it ignores the fact that if you had won the Ohio State game, you'd be in incredible shape right now. The arguments of the people that say we shouldn't play this game anymore because we lost and XYZ happened ignores the fact that if you had won, then there's upside to a win in that. Like, there's no endeavor that you get into that has a degree of risk involved that doesn't have a reward and doesn't have a detriment to it. It's like sitting down at a blackjack table and getting angry that you lost. Like, well, no, but if the right cards had come out, you'd have won and you'd have more money. So that part bothers me. And I think a lot of the, and this is just the way social media is, a lot of the arguments that people try to make where they merely point out the good parts of their resume, I think the bad parts of Texas's resume they try to slough them off. You know, the loss to Florida obviously is awful. You lost to a 4-8 team by more than one score. You went to overtime in back-to-back weeks against Kentucky and Mississippi State. Kentucky's garbage. They fired their coach. Mississippi State is not great either. And you lost by 25 to Georgia. You know, so these are all things the committee looks at. Like, unless the committee completely reverses course on certain things, they've been pretty transparent about what they value. And, you know, I don't think they should be. And those are nice wins they got, but I think there's a lot of negative on their resume too.
Sean, I'll get you out of here with this last thing. Give me your Chiefs win if scenario for Sunday Night Football. Give me your Texans win if scenario.
Yeah, I think to me, the Chiefs win if they're able to, kind of what they did last year in the playoffs, Carrington. If they get heat on CJ Stroud and they get that offense moving, I don't know that there's anything the Chiefs are going to do offensively where it's, you know, I don't think they're going to make the Texans look bad on defense. You know, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. It feels like an under game to me. And I feel like if they get heat on CJ Stroud and they force a couple turnovers, I think that's the if. I think if the Texans are able to control the clock like they've done in their wins, been really good at that, keep Mahomes on the sideline and then put it on their defense, I think that's the formula for the Texans.
That is our guy, Sean Pendergast, joining us on the show. He is with Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. Sean, man, always great catching up with you, my man. Looking forward to Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning on our show, Carrington. Looking forward to that, too.
Absolutely, man. Can't wait to do it. That is Sean Pendergast joining us on the show today. Always happy to catch up with him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.